But before the harsh weather gets here, we need to winterize our vehicle. And our vehicle needs to be ready to operate when we need it to. And it's no fun to operate or work on your vehicle outside when it's freezing cold. And I have done that very thing. That special car that I had in Germany, excuse me, there was times I had to work on it to keep it running. Oh, and by the way, when I left the country, I junked the car. I took it to the junkyard, and the guy gave me $20 for the car. I got $60 for the wheels, I mean the tires, took them to the base exchange, and they sent me $60 when they sold them. Got $60 for the tires. We need to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Caution's usually taken when not necessary. But to not be prepared is dangerous. We buy insurance, don't we? And we hope we don't have to use it. We need to be prepared for the winter. What does that say about us? It's sometimes we pay more attention to our vehicles than our souls. Now, we know that's not true, but we do take a lot of preventative care. We should never allow our vehicles to take precedence over our spiritual situations. We shouldn't allow our possessions to take control and direct our lives. And let's look at how we can protect our souls. Check your antifreeze. When it gets really, really cold, and it does get cold around here sometimes, we have times that it gets down in the teens and even below that. We check our antifreeze, don't we? We need to be filled with the right stuff. Well, doesn't our souls also need to be filled with the right stuff? We need to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Let's look at Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Be filled with the knowledge of His will. How are we filled with the knowledge of God's will? Well, we poke it in up here, don't we? We don't have this miraculous manifestations that they did in the first century. We poke it in through Bible class and studying His Word and memorization and laying it up in our hearts. That's how we do the knowledge of His will. We do it through the Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians 5:18. And again, this is not a miraculous manifestation that we're talking about. He talks about speaking to one another. Excuse me, I'm dropped down too low. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. How are we filled with the Spirit? Again, this is not a miraculous manifestation. This is a filling of the Spirit, and the Spirit works through the Word. So we are filled with the Spirit by learning the Word of God. By learning the Word of God. We need to be filled with comfort or encouragement. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Let's take a look at that. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. And he says, I am filled with comfort. And that was a result of these people's faith. And of course, he had led these people to the Lord. And that is one of the things as Christians, as we share our faith with other Christians, we grow in comfort and encouragement as a result of sharing of faith with other Christians. Sharing of, we need to be filled with fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19 talks about, and this whole section of Ephesians 3:19 is such a wonderful passage. This is one of my favorite passages, this whole context in the entire Bible. And Paul is praying for these people. If you back up in context to verse 14, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and he's continuing to pray for these people. And then he gets down to verse 19. He's praying that they would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't even pretend to know the full depth of what he's talking about here when he says that they could be filled with all the fullness of God. To me, that is a statement that is so deep, I don't even begin to know the depth of what he's talking about, of being filled with all the fullness of God. But he goes on to say, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, and then notice this, above all that we ask, goodness gracious, above all that we can ask. This is Christmas. What can you ask for? I think about the little boy that asks, or little girl that asks Santa so much. You know, this is the asking season, isn't it? And above all that you ask, or look at this next word, ask or think. Can we ask or think a lot of God? We could ask a lot, can't we? According to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. That's a powerful statement. I don't even begin to understand the full depth of what he's saying there, but that's a lot. He goes on to say, walking in the light. Now, this is a passage we don't even need to turn to. He says that we should walk in the light. And you know, that passage is not talking about sinless perfection. I think a lot of people get the wrong idea of what walking in the light is, because the very next verse after walking in the light, he says, if we claim to have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So we know walking in the light is not sinless perfection, because he right after that says, if we claim that we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves. So we know that it's not sinless perfection. He says, if we say that, we are deceiving ourselves. And that is a nice, lofty way of saying we've lied to ourselves. So we know that we're still sinners, even though we're Christians. And you know, when I think about walking in the light and the fact that we're going to keep sinning, you ever take a flashlight, that little laser light or anything like that, and mess with a cat? I love to mess with kittens or cats with that light. But you know what? That cat can, that just drives them crazy. They just go crazy over that light. They're after it no matter what. And what do? Every time they get that light, you move it. And you keep moving. And the cat is just going crazy for that light. They're trying to get that light. And you keep moving it. Isn't that terrible of us to do that to them? But you know what? They're trying to walk in the light. And they do a pretty good job. They keep chasing it. And that's kind of like us. We keep chasing that light. Are we perfect? No. No, we're not. Check your heater or furnace. We need to transfer some warmth. Be kindly affectionate with one another. Romans 12 and verse 10 talks about that. Praise can do that. Prayer can do that. Providing for others can do this. We need to make adjustments at times. Sometimes we need to make adjustments on our cars. You know, cars anymore, they don't need the adjustments that they used to make. I have a Subaru, and in past cars, I had been pretty involved in buying them. And I had seen that Subarus, you know, they're all-wheel drive, and I like the off-road prowess and everything, and this was going to be Bobby's car. So I told her when we got up there, I said, we decided on the model. I said, you just go choose you the color and the options. And her and the salesman were out there looking for what the color that she wanted and the options. And I didn't pay a whole lot of attention. And they went and they chose one. And we were going to have to get home. Shelly needed us home. And we looked at the time and she decided on the one. We wrote the guy a check, gave him our trade-in, and took off. and she was going to have to go back up there, and they have a guy that shows you the doodads. That's the best way I could explain that. And I couldn't go. She was going back up there to get shown the doodads. And she went up there by herself to get shown the doodads, and I didn't go. Well, I figured, you know, she'll show me it, or I'll figure it out later. So anyway, I think I was going to tell you that later on. Run smoother with the right timing. Back first, sluggish. Anyway, I'll go ahead and tell you about this. It's kind of out of order in this thing anyway. Used to, you set the headlights on cars. Remember how you do that? You've got a screwdriver and you adjust them based on the going up and down. Well, the first time I started this car, when it's dark, you ever roll your eyes at anybody? Or anybody roll their eyes at you? That's kind of crazy. The first time I start this car, the lights go like this. And that's kind of strange. You go around a corner and the lights point the direction you're going. And that's kind of odd. You can't adjust that stuff anymore. So that's kind of odd. You can't adjust that stuff anymore. And also, sometimes cars, if you get too close, I mean, even if you're going slow, it decides, you're too close. I'm going to stop. I don't like the way you're driving. It slams on the brakes. That can happen. That's a true story. So you don't always make the adjustments that you make. We need to make adjustments in our spiritual life sometimes. We do that based on the way we're living and the way the Bible shows us as we read the Bible. That's why it's important to study the Word. Because James says it's like looking in a mirror. You read the Word and you see certain things, and you see certain things in your life, and you see, I need to make adjustments based on that. And that's kind of like getting your car ready for winter. You see the way you are, and you need to make adjustments. Our lives don't always run smoothly. We need to make those adjustments. And back in the old days, you had to set the timing. You don't set the timing in new cars. You got electronic ignition. That's different. A lot of times, cars would backfire and make noises and stuff like that. And you don't do that stuff anymore. That's changed. We need to tune each other's up sometimes. Hebrews 10:24 and 25. I want to talk about Hebrews 10:24 just a minute. Turn over there. A lot of times in times past, and Larry hasn't beat us up with 10:25 about making each other come to church, but look at verse 10:24. We need to talk about that verse more. Let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You know, that's a good verse. Stir up love and good works. How do you stir up love and good works? I don't know. How do you make other Christians love each other more? I don't know. But that's what the Hebrew writer says. We need to stir that up. And he says we need to stir up good works. That's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to do. I'm not sure how you always do that. But one of the things he did say is you see the day approaching. Whatever day he's talking about, it's important to do that. General adjustments. Adjust your headlights. There it is. Improper alignment can cause dangerous situations. You know, I've seen some of these car commercials now. You're driving along and all of a sudden a deer runs out in front of you and your car automatically stops. And I didn't know our car would automatically stop. And I don't generally run up on stuff, but somebody changed lanes and I found out that it decides that I'm not stopping fast enough and it about threw me through the windshield. Your lights don't properly light the way. You go around a corner and the lights get there before you do. I found that out by accident too. If your lights don't dim properly, it can be a hazard to other drivers. I thought about this when I was reading this passage. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine in such a way that others will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus didn't say, "Take your light and shine it in their eyes." Did you ever hold a light while your dad was working or something? Did you ever do that? Did you ever take that flashlight and shine it in his eyes? Did he like that, didn't he? He enjoyed it. He said, Thanks, I appreciate you shining that light in my eyes." Did that help him work? No, he didn't really enjoy that, did he? The light is supposed to go on the job, isn't it? Not in his eyes. And now he can't see for a little bit. Well, same way from what Matthew is saying and what Jesus is saying in Matthew 5:16. The light goes on the job, not in somebody's eyes. So if you're dealing with somebody, don't shine the light in their eyes. And what I'm saying there is, try not to be offensive. Try not to be offensive to what they're doing. Shine your light properly. Should not force our light upon others, but upon their path. Adjust the brakes. I'm kind of getting some of this out of order. Important to make the vehicle go, but safer to make it stop when we need to stop. We should pray to God for the wisdom to know when to stop. And that's dealing with our tongue. You know, sometimes our tongue just gets carried away, don't it? And James talks about how much our tongue gets carried away. Controlling the tongue is the hardest thing to do. All through James, he talks about the rudder of a ship. Great old big ship, little bitty rudder. And yet that rudder can control that great old big ship. He talks about a fire and a little bitty spark. And when I read that again in James, I thought about those huge fires out in California. And just a little bitty, somebody maybe driving, I don't know how it started, but you know, somebody could have just flicked a cigarette out a window and poof, could have started those huge fires. Get an alignment. My car, as opposed to my wife's car, I noticed it was pulling a little bit when I first got it, and I went down to the tire place and I said, "I need a front end alignment." And he said, "No, we don't do that on that car." He said, "That's an independent suspension." He said, "Each tire is aligned separately. Plus," he says, "those tires are wide enough that the tires are walking." And he explained to me how I didn't know what I was talking about. And by the time he finished, I realized, I don't know what I'm talking about. He checked it, and when he got done checking it, he told me, "You don't know what you're talking about." So you learn something all the time. Learn something every day. Align your hearts with the love of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Let's look at that passage real fast. "Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. How does He do that? I'm not sure. But we can pray that He would do that. We could pray that the Lord would direct our hearts into the love of God. You know, our hearts can go all different ways. Our hearts are being pulled every which way. And verses like that tell us these are the kind of things we need to pray for, that God would direct our hearts into the proper channels. Get an alignment. It's easy to get sidetracked by the world in which we live in. It's easy to look every which way but the way that we want to live. You know, horses have blinders. You know why they have blinders? Because sometimes they get sidetracked by things. They don't want him going different directions or getting spooked by things that they see on the side. The remedy is found in Philippians 4:8. He mentions all those good things, and I like the way the New King James talks about it. It says, "Meditate on these things." Meditate. Do you meditate? Do you think about things like that? Do you think about those things? Do you ever take any time to yourself to just turn the TV off, to turn the sound off, to turn the world off? That's good for you.
because we are bombarded with music, with TV, with noise, with everything, with sounds of traffic and everything. And there's times that you need to meditate and pray and not be bombarded with all this noise. Align yourself with God and not the world. This morning, in conclusion, we can all know the importance and necessity of keeping our vehicles in top-notch running performance the same way that we can know the importance of keeping our spiritual lives in good running order. We need to winterize our souls as well as our vehicles. Our souls are much more important than our vehicles. Yeah, our vehicles are important. It gets us from point A to point B. But you know what? Our souls is what's a part of eternity. Our vehicles, how many vehicles you had? I bet everyone in here had a bunch of them, but you only got one soul. One soul. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, the lesson's yours as we stand and sing.